This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, November 18th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the call for a lighter carbon footprint from generators of power in the United States and how the nuclear industry is responding to it and how it may face some challenges of its own. We'll also get a forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. Last week's closing of the Champaign County Urban League could bring about a serious lapse in some key areas that it used to administer. They've been co-funded by the county's United Way, which is searching for partners to resume those operations. CEO Lynn Jones says the two most in danger of falling behind are an employment reentry program and one for first-time homebuyers. Jones says it's always a concern when clients can't go to the agency they've relied on for more than 40 years, but she says those worries are doubled in the wake of the current economy.
I think the need for services is at a peak right now. And we are in the midst of the United Way campaign this fall. And as always, we are hopeful that our fundraising efforts are successful so that we have money to invest in these programs that serve people.
The Urban League chapter also oversaw a community daycare center. Jones says the United Way committee is looking for options to find someone else to co-run that facility. The Champaign-based Urban League closed last week amid reports of debt of more than $800,000, along with state and federal investigations. Jones says an agency replacing it isn't out of the question once those problems are addressed. Meanwhile, the former board president of the Urban League, Loreen Cowan, says the closure brings an opportunity to build a more well-rounded organization that handles human rights concerns based more on intellect than on race. Traffic has been diverted around a building that was heavily damaged by the November 7th fire that leveled the Metropolitan Building next door. Champaign Deputy Fire Chief Tim Wild says Neal Street's been closed between church and park, and the sidewalk in front of the surviving building is also closed. He says an inspection over the weekend prompted the city to keep passersby away from an unstable north wall, even cars and trucks.
And if that wall goes, brick could go into Neal Street. And if that wall goes also, you could get a snowball effect where the east wall could potentially have things come off of it. So just for the safety until we can get things inspected further and or shored up, we thought it was the best thing to shut down Neal Street.
Wild says crews are trying to decide as soon as possible whether to shore up the building or tear it down, but he's not sure how long the Neal Street closure will last. The city is diverting traffic to State Street a block away. Police could soon turn over its findings in the case of a former U of I gymnastics coach to the Champaign County State's Attorney. Police say they've executed search warrants on John Valdez's home, computer, and email accounts. Valdez resigned last month after police say a video camera was found inside a private locker room. He also faces a drunk driving charge in Wisconsin. Valdez trained gymnasts for the Beijing Olympics, including U of I star Justin Spring. Some university presidents in Illinois were among the highest paid in the country. That's according to an annual survey from the Chronicle of Higher Education. Tasha Flournoy reports.
The survey reports during the 2006-2007 academic year, 89 private college presidents took home more than $500,000. That's 10% more than the year before. Northwestern University President Henry Beenan earned close to $1.7 million in total compensation. University spokesman Alan Cubbage says Beenan's pay package is appropriate.
President Beenan has been here more than a decade, and the trustees obviously review his performance, review the market, see what's out there, and make a judgment on what is a fair level of compensation.
Salaries and incentives for public university presidents are climbing too, up nearly 8% last year. Among the top earners is University of Illinois President Joseph White. The survey reports he made close to $500,000. I'm Tasha Flournoy.
The Urbana City Council will let a developer tear down a house in a city historic district. In exchange, Howard Wakeland will drop his lawsuit against the city and make sure the new house he builds in place of the old one follows design guidelines compatible with the neighborhood. That's the gist of an out-of-court settlement which council members approved last night. Wakeland sued the city last July when the council voted to reject his request to demolish the house, even though it's considered one of the less important structures in the historic district. Alderman Dennis Roberts was among those who voted against demolition, but he says both sides will come out ahead in the settlement.
I think many people will be a little bit discouraged, perhaps, by the result, but on the plus side, Mr. Wakeland is meeting and actually improving the original plan of his home so that some of the design qualities are enhanced.
The house is in the 800 block of West Main Street in Urbana, where a historic district was created last year. Wakeland had earlier promised the new house that took its place would fit in with other houses nearby. He had no additional comment last night except to say he was pleased with the vote. If all goes according to plan, thousands of runners will be on the streets of Champaign-Urbana next April 11th for the first annual Illinois Marathon. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Promoter Mark Knutson organized the five-year-old Fargo Marathon, which attracted more than 13,000 runners last year. He told the Urbana City Council last night that Champaign-Urbana is a great location for a marathon, flat terrain and close to major cities. He says the 26.2-mile route for the Illinois Marathon will take runners around and about Champaign, Urbana, and the U of I campus.
Our goal is to send thousands of runners to this community. And again, I'm not just planning on 2009. I'm planning on 2010 and 11 and 12 and years to come.
Knutson says most runners in the Illinois Marathon will be there for the fun of it, but a few will be top-level athletes competing for money. Race director Joe Bale says they're starting small and have received just a handful of applications from elite athletes so far.
What we're looking for is more regional elite athletes than national or international, at least for this first year. Our purse is not that big, but there is still prize money for both the marathon and the half marathon.
Knutson says they're currently lining up corporate sponsors for the Illinois Marathon. The roster so far includes Christie Clinic and Busey Bank. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. U.S. corporations are struggling with a new issue, reducing their carbon footprint. They're anticipating federal requirements to reduce carbon outputs to limit climate change. They're moving now so they won't be at a competitive disadvantage. One industry would seem to have an edge, nuclear power. Nuclear doesn't emit greenhouse gases, such as carbon dioxide. But Sean Ali of the Environment Report tells us the nation's biggest nuclear power company might not be able to take advantage of this obvious option.
Recently, I dropped in on a corporate meet and greet in Chicago. I waited through computerized presentations and loads of free pastry and coffee, and heard executives from Pepsi, IBM, and Staples talk about cutting their carbon emissions. The company most eager to talk was Exelon.
We're a very large power generator. We are also a very large utility company. And given our size, we have a special responsibility to help address the implications of climate change.
Ruth Ann Gillis is an executive vice president at Exelon. The company is prepping for the day when the government makes them pay for when they put carbon into the atmosphere. Gillis says Exelon is starting early and plans to cut emissions by 15 million tons a year by 2020.
The reduction, the offset, the displacement of 15 million metric tons is the equivalent of taking 3 million cars a year off our roads and highways. And for nothing more, everyone should be hopeful that we are indeed successful because it will make a difference.
To make that difference, Exelon will promote efficiency, cut the coal used in some of its power stations, and slash its own energy use in buildings and vehicles. I head to one of Exelon's power plants to learn another way Exelon might cut its carbon output. Plant manager Brian Hansen says the idea is to squeeze more power out of existing nuclear power stations.
One of our strategies of our 2020 carbon initiative is to increase power at some of the reactors, taking advantage of some of the flexibility built into the power plants.
And when you say flexibility, what do you mean by that?
Well, they were built with a tremendous amount of margin, extra pumps, extra systems that allow us to, you know, operate even at a little higher power.
Do you have to ask someone's permission to do that?
Yeah, good question. As part of our license to operate the facility, we're only allowed to operate a certain power level. And so to go above that, we have to submit a pretty formal engineering study to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
But why upgrade? Why squeeze more power out of old plants? Why not build new nuclear plants too? Well, Exelon would like to, but it's not easy. Tom O'Neill is vice president of new plant development at Exelon. He says Exelon wants a new nuclear power plant in Texas, but no one's licensed a nuke plant for a dozen years, and it's common for projects to get canceled. So Exelon's got some blanks to fill in.
How much is it going to cost? Can we finance it? What's the political support? What do we think the regulatory environment will look like? Those are all factors that generate risk in a project, and at this point we're trying to understand, can we mitigate the risk and move forward with what would be a very expensive construction project?
If the company pulls that off, it would make more electricity but emit almost no new carbon, and its overall carbon footprint would shrink, helping reduce emissions that cause global warming. But even Exelon, the country's biggest nuclear power company, might not be able to turn to its core business to save the world. For The Environment Report, I'm Sean Ali.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about The Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
Our meteorologist Ed Kieser is looking at lake effect snow that's developed over the last 24 hours in northwest Indiana. That shouldn't be the problem with the rest of the two states. For today in Illinois and in west central, southwest, and south central Indiana, it will be sunny. In northwest Indiana, cloudy with snow showers and squalls through midday, tapering to flurries with locally heavy snowfall in some spots. Elsewhere in northern and central Indiana, a mix of clouds and sun and a few flurries. Highs today from 32 in northeast Indiana to 43 in far southern Illinois. Sunny and 36 today in Champaign-Urbana. For tonight, partly cloudy across the two states, lows from 18 in northeast Indiana to 28 in west central Illinois, 23 in Champaign-Urbana. For tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny and breezy, highs from 38 in northeast Illinois to 55 in southwest Illinois, 48 in the Champaign-Urbana area. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, the low 29 degrees, then sunny and 40 on Thursday, Friday sunshine with a high of 35. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, November 18th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.